Well, I'm going to try to finish up what I got started. We were talking about not letting your children pass through the fires of Moloch. And I got close to the end last time, and I think we maybe finished it this time. Not run out too soon either. Leviticus 18:21 says, "Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah." God's serious about his children. And we're a reflection of that towards our children. The kind of responsibility we have is akin to the affection and the attention that God has for his own children. And offending God's children is a serious matter. And we looked at several places in Scripture, the Moloch and whatever, and the Lord during his own earthly ministry. Talk about people who would offend the children. It'd be better if they had a millstone around their neck and they were cast into the sea. You know, better for them, they'd never done that. And the ongoing issues we see of endangering of our children through these modern injections, these modern jabs. I just can't understand people. Some friends I've known from way back, I saw one gal today just bragging about, you know, she got her booster and she didn't pass out this time. And I was like, oh, okay. And people just pushing. You know, people die and they're survivors say, yeah, well, they died, but you know, we want you to go get your jab. It's like, yeah, you know, it could be worse. They died, but it could be worse. And some people actually even said that. Yes. Bad enough you do this to yourself, but when you start doing this to little children, little children whom, you know, you're accountable for, right, whom you're responsible, whom you're supposed to be watching over, whom you're supposed to be taking care of. And last week we looked in Psalm 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. God gives these to us as a heritage, as an inheritance. We're accountable. We're responsible. The fruit of the womb is his reward. We looked at Paul as he wrote young Timothy and how his grandmother and his mother had taught him the things of the Lord as he grew up. And that these things were, by the grace of God, implanted. But God used people to do that. God uses us. The admonitions in Scripture to parents, you know, to fathers, to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as we saw in Ephesians and back in Deuteronomy, where God instructed Israel to take his word into their own hearts. And then he goes on in Deuteronomy 6, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's a process that begins. I've preached before Paul's words to Timothy. I can't put my finger on it right now because I didn't write it down. But he told Timothy, he said, the things you've learned of me, you pass on to faithful men. What? That they can pass it on to others. That's how we've been brought where we were. Mentioned on Thanksgiving Day, someone, I think, gave testimony, maybe it was Diane, that the Lord had been pleased to teach us some things and show us some things. God used people to do that. People who understood their accountability, who understood their responsibility. And we should understand those things. And in the light of that, I think last week we got started on this point, and that's about where I finished it. Christ's view of his elect children, you know, should be an example to us about how we should view and hold and deal with our own children. He is our great example. Not like some twisted theology, like that's all he is. You know, he was a good man. He was a good. No, he is God. He was our Savior and Redeemer. But he is our example. And Christ has a special view and affection for his own children. Isaiah speaks prophetically the words of the Lord, the words of our Savior, Isaiah 8 and 18, where Christ says, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me." He doesn't lose any of them. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts that dwelleth in Mount Zion." He feels, if you will, a responsibility and accountability. And then again, where Paul writes in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, again, reflecting on those words from the Old Testament and their fulfillment in Christ. Hebrews 2 and verse 12, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." God the Father gave children to God the Son. That everlasting covenant, Paul writes in Hebrews, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Christ is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. Our little pea brains, our little human brains can't really process all that. He's the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. That eternal covenant, where God the Father gave a people to God the Son, and God the Son said, "I will redeem them." God the Father accepted it. Christ became our surety. I shared, I don't know if it was on Thursday or whatever, I've been reading recently, some supposedly like-minded church and whatever fellow is railing against the doctrine of eternal justification. How can you get around that? You read the everlasting covenant. We're accepted. The scripture says we're accepted in the beloved before the foundation of the world. Can we be in Christ and unjustified? I don't know how that could be. And this fellow, one of his points was, as I thought about it, it's just, you know, you could get into it and pick it apart. But one of his points, well, Christ, they couldn't be justified because Christ, you know, the penalty had not yet been paid on Calvary's cross. Well, then all the Old Testament saints were unjustified? Where do you get that from? Abraham, we saw Paul wrote in Galatians, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham had the faith of Christ. So this was serious business. Yes, I want to make this clear too. This one of the straw men this fellow raised up is like that, you know, the elect then never have to come to repentance. Oh yes, we do. More than any others, they won't come into repentance until they're given life and until they're given the gift of repentance. But we have a relationship to Christ. We also had a relationship to another father. Hey, Adam, and we fell in Adam, And even the elect are born dead in trespasses and sin. But God will bring everyone to Himself. Christ had these people. Christ had these children. And Christ undertook to meet their needs. To ensure that they received what was needful and what was required. And so, Hebrews 2 again, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Again, to be called not only a child, but a brother of Christ. Brethren, in the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And did God give him those children just during his earthly ministry? Did God give him those children just when they decide to get saved? No, the rest of this verse makes very clear. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Okay, the children became partakers of flesh and blood. They were already given to Christ. They were already children. And since the children are for as much as then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself took part of the same. God became man. Explain that to me. I don't know that you can. But I know that God became man. Why? Why? Because the children were partakers of flesh and blood. The children were partakers of flesh and blood, therefore He partook of flesh and blood. The children were already existent in the mind of God and in Christ. We had, many of us, not yet been born into the world, but we were in Christ. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself took part of the same. That through death He might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. So because God gave a children to Christ, we were in Him from before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm not talking about pre-existence of souls or whatever, like some here. You know, the Lord does that as we're born, as we're formed in the womb. But in the mind of God, how do we talk about that? I don't know. And I say, you know, the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant. And I often use the phrases eternity past. But, no, you know, eternity is eternity. They're not eternity past. And I say, in eternity future, but that's not exactly the way it is. But my little pea brain can't comprehend anything else. With God, it's eternity. And ever eternity. And so a people were given to the Son, and the Son covenanted with the Father to make what was needful for those people. And what was that? He partook of flesh and blood. Paul tells us He humbled Himself. He partook of flesh and blood. And He humbled Himself not only to become a man, but He humbled Himself to the death of the cross. He humbled Himself to the wrath of God. Isaiah 53, we read, where God the Father pours out His wrath on God the Son. And even there, prophetically, He cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ experienced what we as the children of God, which we as the elect of God, will never experience. And He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for those children. He sacrificed Himself for those children. Now, we can never sacrifice ourselves in the sense he did. But we are to give ourselves for those that come beyond us, for our posterity. I forget, I posted something today where some sinful had questions and just said, can somebody explain to me, you know, why everybody's, you know, got to get these jabs from these criminal companies that's been shown to be ineffective, and why do we now say everybody has to do that? And I posted it, one fellow said, well, it's better not to ask. And I said, no, we have to ask for the sake of our posterity. That posterity thing, and I'm getting off where I was going to go, but that posterity thing's a pretty important thing. You read back those men who helped found this nation, they spoke of posterity often to secure for ourselves and our posterity the blessings. They weren't, I don't think, thinking about folks, you know, who snuck in across the border. That's not posterity. Their own descendants, God gives us, ought to give us that affection, that desire to protect and to care for. Yea, and if need be, sacrifice for. And that's Christ, our great example, did. He gave himself for his children. God became man, which is mind-boggling. And then he suffered the horrible death of the cross. Then he suffered the wrath of God the Father. And folks today want to sacrifice the children so they feel safer, so they feel better. So those little snotty-nosed things don't give me the cooties. You know? Really? And we think this aspect of the children and the importance of the children, and the Lord himself was the blessed fruit of the womb. And I guess we got to this part last week too, but Elizabeth comes and visits Mary, and John the Baptist within her womb leaps. You say, wait a minute, don't call him John the Baptist. He ain't Baptist yet, because he didn't baptize anybody. Go back and read the New Testament Gospels. He's called John the Baptist before he ever baptized anybody. I'm getting the field again, but you know, you got to hit on some things, and I like to bring along if we got folks that maybe never heard some things before. But he's called the John the Baptist before he baptizes anybody. And what does John say? In the book of John, which is written by John the Apostle, not John the Baptist, John the Baptist is quoted as saying, he who sent me to baptize with water. Wait a minute, you mean God sent John the Baptist to baptize with water? That's what John said. And that's what the Lord believed. Because the Lord submitted to that baptism. To teach us something. To show us something. And now I'm getting the feel. But anyway, John the Baptist, a special case. He was sent of God to baptize with water. And when within the womb, his mother meets Mary, the mother of our Lord. See, you get new folks and you think, maybe never heard of this stuff before, but I'll just have to go on with something. Mary was the mother of our Lord. She was not the mother of God. But anyway, even though our Lord was God, she didn't birth that part of it. She didn't form that part. The babe leaps in the womb. And she spake out, Elizabeth, with a loud voice, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The Lord was called the fruit of the womb. Now they call it, you know, a bunch of cells that can be sloughed off. It's never called that in Scripture. It's the fruit of the womb. In Scripture, women aren't pregnant. Not that that's a bad term. But in Scripture, women are, what? With child. With child. Well, anybody tell you that that's not a child? God says it is. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. He was the blessed fruit of the womb, and we are his precious seed. Isaiah 53. Again, that passage that speaks of God the Father pouring his wrath on the Son. It says, Isaiah 53, just verse 10 we'll look at, but it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see his seed. Christ would see his seed. We are his seed. All this emphasizing again the importance of children and God's recognition of that importance. And what we see taking place around us today is contrary to nature. It's just, Scripture talks about a time when women won't love their own children. Speaks of other things that's contrary to nature too that this world won't recognize. But the Lord just spoke of nature, the natural inclination of man. Doesn't mean that every man's this way, because there's some wicked and evil people. But in Luke 11, the Lord uses an example. Luke 11, verse 11, he says, and if a son shall ask any bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Wow, that's kind of... Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Kind of seems to me that kids today are getting those stones and serpents and scorpions. And almost without a second thought. And the Lord, in giving this example, is saying, really, if that happens, it's contrary to nature. It's contrary to the process of things. But we ask ourselves, you know, in this day and age, you know, who should we listen to? Should we listen to the medical experts, so-called, that supposedly, just ask them, they'll tell you they have our best interests at heart. They change their mind every day about what those best interests are. And here's the thing to think upon in the light of what we've been talking about here and the importance of children and our obligation to them. Almost to a man or a woman, which makes it worse, they will deny that that baby in the womb is human. The Scriptures say a woman is with child, that the Lord blesses, that it's the fruit of the womb. But they deny that's human. Now, are those the folks you want to listen to? You know, people who claim to believe like we do about that, they still take in all this stuff that comes out of the mouth of the CDC and the FDA and Fauci and all these other demagogues. And yet, they don't believe that child in the womb is human. That's science? Again, throughout Scripture, moments of a child, the example of our Lord, Matthew 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." A virgin. The modern Bibles, they don't change it here because there's no question what the Greek word is. The Hebrew word sometimes can be taken differently, and the Hebrew passage prophetically where this taken it from, the modern perversions of the Bible, our King James Bible says, you know, a virgin shall be with child. They say a young woman shall be with child. Wow, that's a miracle, isn't it? Yeah, no, Diane knows that better than any of us. You know, she worked in childbirth. When I was a little kid, I remember one time, oh, it sticks in my head. I didn't know any better. Simple innocence of our day, anyway. I don't know how that was, but one time we were talking. I said, well, there has to be a God. How come only married women get pregnant, or women have children? Well, I guess that really wasn't the way it happened, but I didn't know any better. One of those things that sticks in your mind. Oh, for the innocence of those days again, right? Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now shall bring forth, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God became man. A virgin was with child. With child. Not with a collection of cells. With child. These same folks that deny that, and again, just who should we be listening to? They deny the basic science of chromosomes. They say, you know, believe the science, except for that chromosome thing. You know, because Rachel Levine, yeah, she's a woman, or he's a woman, or, yeah, really. These folks that can't tell the difference between a man and a woman want us to trust them and believe them about getting our little children jabbed. I mean, can you think about that a little bit? Does that make any sense at all? It's the same people. Again, virtually to a man or to a woman. They don't believe that that's a child in the womb. They believe that something like that thing, Rachel Levine, who's our first four-star woman admiral, is that what they call her? Or him? Or it? They can't tell the difference. But they want us to believe that. They consider, and I won't get into the details of it, but again, the CDC, this isn't new. Now they're talking about how there's guns are a health epidemic. But it's not now. They did that a long time in the past, and there was such an uproar, they kind of let it go. But now it's coming up again. The CDC, these same people that are telling you how safe and effective this is for you and your children, they're talking about self-defense is a health hazard. Are you kind of starting to see the picture now? Are these the people you want to be listening to? These people think that Almighty man can alter the climate. I mean, you just have to look around. I just saw something today that a freeze just, again, this isn't the first time this happened, but a freeze locked a bunch of ships in one of the poles. You know, this global warming, and folks are up there in the poles when it's normally navigable, and all of a sudden it's a freeze and these ships are stuck. None of that is science. It's witchcraft, which again, that word pharmakia kind of ties in with stuff, you see. Which sorcery, witchcraft, that word that's translated that in Scripture, the underlying Greek word is pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy. And maybe you can connect the dots. It's not science. It's voodoo. It's false religion. If you just take your time and go back and carefully read Paul's words to young Timothy, it's one of those times that I can get goosebumps. Verse Timothy 6 and verse 20. Paul writes, young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, almost 2,000 years ago, says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and the opposition of science, falsely so called." Paul said, there's going to be rising. It was even at work then, but there's going to be rising something that's called science falsely. You can look at Darwin. You can look at all these concepts of anthropologic global warming, abortion, and on and on. Science, falsely so-called. Paul said, they're going to say it's science. In fact, the way he's emphasizing it here, you could say they're almost going to, they're going to call it the science, right? "Which some professing have erred concerning the faith." Grace be with thee. Amen. Prophetic. And again, almost give us goosebumps. By the grace of God, you know, may we have God's wisdom about these things. It's, well, I was going to say it's not rocket science, but I just said that science isn't a bad word, you see. I mean, who cannot tell that a baby in the womb is a baby? Who cannot tell that chromosomes are determinative of whether someone's a man or a woman? And you can do all or whatever you want to the externals, but you still got the chromosomes. That's the science. And these scientists deny it. But they want you to believe them about getting your kid jabbed. Well, I've dealt enough with that, I guess. Lord willing, unless something else comes up, maybe we'll get back into Galatians some next week, where really we're dealing with some of these same sort of things, where Paul's talking about what ought to be the fruits of Christianity and what ought to be avoided. And salvation is all by grace. None of us. And yet, Paul says, let not our liberty be used as an occasion for sin. And may that be the case by God's grace with us. We'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 37. Jesus, and shall it ever be, number 37. And we haven't sang this one maybe a whole lot, but just to note it's to the tune of Just As I Am. So you'll know that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, for the places that you've placed us in. As parents, as grandparents, as leaders, teachers. Father, may we comprehend the awesome responsibility we have before thee. Responsibility for those that you've given to us as an inheritance, that you've placed in our care, and for whom we'll answer. Lord, I pray that you might allow us to value our children and grandchildren, any others that you may place under our care and hearing. In some sense, in the way that you valued us, your children. We thank you, Lord, that you gave a children to Christ. That he undertook to give himself for them. Father, may we follow that example in some small way. Father, we thank you that you loved us with an everlasting love. That you chose us in Christ before we were, before the world was. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. Just pray, Lord, you put your hand on us and use us in this coming week to your glory. May we be a help and encouragement and admonition to others as you see fit. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for his complete and sufficient atonement. And we pray in his name. Amen.